Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Meow. Meow. Meow.
Woof, woof, woof.
Hello, everybody. We've got to talk about something today that is just a little weird. Okay, it's a whole lot weird. I mean, it's really bizarre. And you need to understand what's happening in your local public school, because there is some pervy stuff going down, and there are people out there trying to groom your children. And I want to take us to Utah for the starting off point for today's program, where yesterday, middle school students walked out of class. Now, someone sent me this video, which you can see over on our website, toddstearns.com. And before we even did the story, the allegations were just so outrageous that I called the school district and I said, hey, look, you may not be aware of this, but you got all these kids walking out of class. There's this video here, and the kids are making some really shocking accusations. And it turns out that the allegations are sort of kind of true. So let's talk about this. A bunch of middle school kids yesterday, they walked out of class, and they're complaining that the school is allowing their classmates to dress up as furries. Now, you may not be aware of what furries are in the LGBT world. It's a little perverted, a little kinky, and just quite frankly sick. So you've got these kids, and they dress up like they are animals, right? And these furry costumes. I guess it could be like a mascot, you know, like a collegiate mascot, except these are sexualized furry creatures. Dylan, I know you're creeped out by all of this, but is that a pretty good idea, a description of what the furry thing is?
Sounds about right. Creepy mascot.
Creepy mascots, pervy mascots. And you know, you don't want to shake a paw with one of these people unless you've got a wet wipe or you've had your shots. So anyway, the kids are alleging at this middle school, Mount Nebo Middle School, that their furry classmates are wandering around the hallway and they're barking at people, barking at them. It's unbelievable. And then apparently they at some point started biting their classmates, nipping at their heels. Down, boy, down. You know, it's bad enough you got to deal with the bullies at school, but now you got to worry about, I don't know, one of your classmates sniffing your butt. By the way, may I just ask a question here? And I'm going to read the statement from the school, and it is bizarre. But I just have a question about, well, you know what? I'll save my question because I've got to get to this statement. And then the local ABC affiliate actually did a story on this. So the guy who is the spokesperson there at the Mount Nebo School says, Todd, thank you for reaching out. I can confirm we did have a few students and parents engage in a walkout today. It was not a few. It was a lot. We've got the video. You can see it on the website. I can also confirm that much of the information online is absolutely false. There's a lot of misinformation being shared online currently about the school and students. So he never tells me what the misinformation is. And he never says exactly what is false. Now, then he goes on. I've got a lot to say about this. So then he goes on. He says, these are 11 and 12-year-old children. Sometimes they may come to school with a headband that has ears. Sometimes with giant bows, and sometimes dressed as their favorite athlete.
Mm-hmm.
This is common for children of this age. Is this true? We try to address anything that may distract from a student learning right away. Like, okay, somebody sniffing the butt, or I don't know, trying to do something inappropriate with the leg of another child. We've all seen what the dogs do. We've seen it. We know what's going on. Anyway, the guy goes on. This is a long statement. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But anyway, he says, recently, the administration addressed a student conduct issue to ensure a positive environment at the school. Down, boy, down. Unfortunately, some misinterpreted the message and expressed concerns online. What? I want to know what that conduct issue was. I think somebody, because the other allegation is that they allowed the furries to use a litter box. Unfortunately, some misinterpreted the message and expressed concerns online. School administration personally contacted the concerned parents early on to clarify the situation. While some parents and students have chosen to protest, we remain committed to open communication. Here we go. And fostering a respectful school community. In other words, they got some freaky deaky stuff going down in the hallways at Mount Nebo Middle School. Because if in fact it was false, I'm just going to pretend that Todd Starnes is an educator, which I am. I sit behind this beautiful huge microphone every day and I educate America about what's happening across the fruited plain. But I'm not an academic in the sense of an egghead. But I'm just going to pretend to be a principal for a moment. And I get the allegation. I get a call from a reporter that says, sir, we've learned that you allow your children at the school to dress up like cats and gerbils and ferrets. Now, if I'm the principal of the school, I'm livid. I'm like, what? We're holding a press conference. And you summon all the reporters and the reporterettes, and they gather. The crowd is there. They've got the microphones. They have the reporters and their notepads and their pens poised, ready to write every single word. And what you do as a principal is say, folks, this is a flat-out lie. We believe that boys are boys and girls are girls here at this school. We don't believe in allowing the children to dress up in furry costumes. Fake news. That's what I would have done. But that's not what happened here, right? They're hemming and they're hawing. And ladies and gentlemen, when a school administrator hems and haws, it means they're hiding something. So in this case, I actually believe the students, and I believe the concerned moms and dads. Why else would you stage a walkout like this? So anyway, it's now the local ABC affiliate actually interviewed a furry person. Now, Dylan, did you watch the video? You saw this video. What did you think?
I was a little creeped out, and I didn't want to watch it anymore.
It's weird. So you've got the ABC reporterette, and she's interviewing someone who is dressed in one of these furry outfits. All right, let's take a listen.
Thank you.
This is Strudel, a member of the furry fandom. Though they've been a furry for over a decade, they have their own opinions.
It's crazy that it's escalated to this point where these kids are being so distracting to their peers that their peers want to stage a walkout. So to have, you know, the next generation kind of muddy our name and not represent it very well, it is kind of disappointing.
Strudel believes there should be some limits.
Continue doing things you like, continue dressing up, continue making art, but maybe let's keep it outside of school hours.
As for the school, Sorensen says they have one main goal.
We want every student to feel safe when they come to school, and we want students to get along. In fact, we want adults to get along.
All right. Folks, this is happening in a taxpayer-funded school. So they're all acknowledging now that they do allow the children to dress up in these furry outfits. And the kids are upset, and rightfully so, because you don't know. I mean, rabies is a terrible thing. And you don't want one of these furries biting your kid, and then your kid coming home and like is foaming at the mouth. I mean, that's a horrible thing. So I'm just curious here about something, because they're all now they're all talking about tolerance and acceptance, right? I mean, you've got to accept it. You've got to accept these people for who they are. So here's my question to these kids and to the school leaders at Mount Nebo School. So what are the kids, what are the human kids supposed to do when you've got Fluffy and Fluffy's coming over and Fluffy is sniffing your butt and humping your leg? What do you do? What are you supposed to, does that make you, what is the puppy phobic? What do you call the phobia here? Are you homophobic if you don't allow the little fourth grader who identifies as, I don't know, a ferret to hump your leg? Does that make you a bad person? I'm just asking here. I don't know. Actually, I do know. These people are nuts. And by the way, it's not just there that this is going down. So someone sent me this video from Georgia. This is from a tiny little town in Georgia, Bramlett Elementary School. And the video, this is a professionally done cartoon. It's actually a very well done cartoon featuring animated characters and humans. And so I want to set the scene for you, because the video, you've got a chicken and you have two dogs, except one of the dogs does not identify as a dog. And so the dog is wearing a rainbow colored collar and is playing with yarn. And so you need to understand that going into this. And then you're going to hear a female voice, and she's actually a human lecturing the biological dog. Cut 17.
Hi, I'm Gulliver, and this is Emmett.
Hey!
Oh, hi. I'm Barry.
Oh, hey!
We are so excited you're here. We could use another dog.
Oh.
Yeah. Nice collar. Hmm.
Oh, thank you. I like it.
So, what do you want to do first? Find a chew toy? Oh, chase our tail? Oh, I know. Let's sniff.
No, actually, I like to play with yarn.
Yarn?
Yeah.
What?
It's fun. Yeah. Yeah. Or, I like to clean my paws like this. And you clean your face, too. Yeah. Or, we could practice purring like this.
Purring?
Yeah. And we could try to meow.
Meow. Meow. Meow.
Like that. It's great fun. You should try it.
Why not?
Yeah, let's go.
Excuse me, would you? I have to go for a second. Meow. I'll be right back.
No problem.
Meow.
Miss Madison? Miss Madison?
Oh, hey, Gulliver. You're back. Did you find Barry?
Yeah. We've got to talk.
He seems like a nice guy.
Oh, great guy. Great guy. He thinks he's a cat.
He thinks he's a cat?
Yeah. He's over there talking about yarn, purring, woof, and licking.
Well, that's okay, isn't it?
Well, I think you should talk to him.
About what?
Well, about being
he's
more like a dog.
Gulliver, you're really struggling with this.
It's weird.
It's not weird, just different.
Hmm?
I couldn't ask Barry to change who he is. That would make him really sad.
Yeah, but...
Gulliver, accepting people for who they are is a very important skill.
Yes.
We accept you for who you are.
Because he's a dog!
I'm a dog who acts like a dog. Well, that's normal.
Not normal, just more common.
I don't understand.
It's okay to have questions. Questions are good if they help you to accept someone for who they are.
All right. So this video was shown to fourth graders at Bramlett Elementary School in Georgia. And the whole point of this is you've got a dog who this is all about transgender propaganda. So there's a dog who identifies as a cat, and you're supposed to accept the fact that this dog is a cat. Now, I just want you to think about this. We have many cat owners in the audience here. You put a dog into a pile of cats, what do you think the real cats are going to do? You think they're going to be tolerant? No! The cats are going to go, that's a dog! Dude! Come on, man. Cat. Well, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, so again, ladies and gentlemen, this is all about propaganda that's literally being shoved into the brains of your children at these taxpayer-funded government schools. And left unaddressed, it will destroy our nation. I don't mean to sound the alarmist here, but if this is happening in a small town in Georgia, if this is happening in a small town in Utah, you better believe it's happening in your local schools. There's another video, and I cannot share it with you because the language was vile. But there's a black dude, and he was coming out of his school, this kid, and he was noticing something very strange happening, that two of his classmates were there, and one of them was being led around on a chain, on a leash. And the child was barking like an animal. And the guy was just, I mean, the language coming out of the guy's, it's understandable language. Like, what the heck is going on here? This, they want you to accept this as normal. That's what's going on. The question is, are you going to accept this as normal? Homeschool your kids, ladies and gentlemen. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Furries in public schools. They told us it wasn't happening. Now we have the evidence. We'll be right back. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. And you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com to get started. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today.
Each one of these paper clips has its own job to do. Here are a couple other different kinds. And yet they're all called paper clips. Here? And here's another one. This is a small one that's strong. Each one is fancy. In its own way, just the way each person is fancy in his or her own way. Some are fancy on the outside.
Come on, Mr. Rogers.
Some are fancy on the inside.
Right now.
Yes, sir. Everybody's fancy. Everybody's fine. Your body's fancy. And so is mine.
Shucks.
Boys are boys from the beginning.
Hello.
If you were born a boy, you stay a boy. Girls are girls right from the start. If you were born a girl, you stay a girl and grow up to be a lady. Everybody's fancy. Everybody's fine. Your body's fancy. And so is mine. Only girls can be the mummies. Only boys can be the daddies.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is Mr. Rogers here singing many years ago. If he were alive today, they would destroy him for singing this song, just like they went after J.K. Rowling. But to put a bow on this crazy story and this mental illness that has gripped our public school system, boys are boys, girls are girls, dogs are dogs and cannot be cats. It really is that simple. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us. And, you know, it's interesting. I've been getting some angry messages from some of these religious leaders, evangelical leaders, and they're accusing me of really, they're sort of questioning my faith in God because I am not bowing down and worshiping at the feet of Speaker Mike Johnson. And they're saying, you know, these people are very sincere and they truly believe that I am somehow committing an egregious sin by opposing the platform and the agenda of Speaker Johnson. Now, just a few moments ago, Marjorie Taylor Greene was out before the cameras, and here's what MTG had to say. This is a little lengthy. I may dip into this, but this is Marjorie Taylor Greene on Mike Johnson, and he's literally working behind the scenes to save his speakership. Cut 31.
Mike Johnson owes our entire conference a meeting, and if he wants to change the motion to vacate, he needs to come before the Republican conference that elected him and tell us of his intentions and tell us what this rule change to the motion to vacate is going to be. And I'll tell you something. Kevin McCarthy, while he was staring down the barrel of a loaded gun, he never made a move like this behind closed doors and made deals with Democrats to change the motion to vacate. And we're hearing that's exactly what Mike Johnson is doing. It's unprecedented. This has never happened in history, and it's completely wrong. He owes our conference the truth, and he owes Republicans answers.
Have you heard from colleagues who...
I'm waiting to find out what's going to happen. And this is the type of betrayal that Republican voters are absolutely fed up with. You know, he really crossed the line with most Republicans across the country with what he did on the FISA vote last week, being the final deciding vote against warrants and then passing FISA. And now he's moving forward, making funding to Ukraine, $60 billion to Ukraine, his top priority, the most important thing he can do in a speakership. And he's willing to work with Democrats to make that deal and get that done and change the motion to vacate to do it.
Have you heard some other colleagues who say that this potential action could put them more in your camp of wanting to motion to vacate sooner rather than later?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've told you guys I will not speak for my colleagues. That would be extremely disrespectful for me to do. It's up to them to come forward and say it. But if Mike Johnson goes in there and attaches to the rule, which is the rules committee is meeting right now, so we'll see when that vote takes place. If he attaches a rule to change the motion to vacate and then uses Democrat votes on the rules committee, he's going to prove exactly what I've been saying correct. He is the Democrat speaker. I don't think that's ever happened in history before, and that's going to be the message that will definitely change everything.
Speaker Johnson was asked directly why he believes it's worth losing his job essentially over putting the aid to Ukraine on the floor, and he said it's because it's the right thing to do. What do you make of that response from the speaker?
He's serving Ukraine first and America last, and that would be the worst thing to do for a United States House of Representatives speaker, third in line to the President of the United States, to do nothing for American citizens. Think about this. Monday was tax day. So as Americans were paying their hard-earned tax dollars to this government, the Republican speaker is hinging his entire ability to stay speaker on sending $60 more billion to Ukraine. I can't think of a worse betrayal ever to happen in United States history. And here's what's really ironic. The constitutional attorney, Mike Johnson, is literally betraying the American people in order to keep his grip of power on the speakership.
Okay, enough of that. All right. So we got a pretty good gist of it. And look, MTG, she's got big problems with Mike Johnson, and she wants him out. Look, I've got huge problems with Mike Johnson, and again, I just don't understand what's going through this man's mind. I do not believe that he has been compromised or is being blackmailed. I think he's just in way over his skis here. Now, the funding bill that they are currently debating actually includes, are you ready for this one, folks? About a little over $60 billion for Ukraine, about $24 billion for Israel, and then $9 billion for Gaza. So we are literally about to give the pro-Hamas people out there, and Hamas, we're about to give Hamas $9 billion. What is he thinking? So here's my question, and this is something that the Republicans are going to have to consider here. Do we keep Mike Johnson? Do we understand that he is not a good leader, that he is going to bow down and he's going to take it from the Democrats? Or do we cut our losses and find somebody else? Because I'm not sure we're going to be able to find anybody else that can lead this dumpster fire of a party right now. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, Fox News posted a very angry screed against MTG yesterday and calling her an idiot. That's from Fox News, the opinion side. The headline, Marjorie Taylor Greene is an idiot. She is trying to wreck the GOP. Well, I would contend that, and by the way, MTG will not come on this program, and the reason why, I just like to be honest with you folks about this kind of stuff. We were very critical of some of the things that she had been doing and said as much on this program, and they cut us off, and I'm okay with that. You know, again, we offer our platform to these lawmakers as a public service, and if they don't want to take advantage of it, that's their business. The same thing for Speaker Johnson. But again, for Speaker Johnson, this is what's amazing about this. We were pro Speaker Johnson. We were sounding we were one of the biggest cheerleaders. And they asked for our help. But as soon as he was elected, boom, they cut off everything. Nobody can get through to this guy anymore. And again, that's his decision. And as a result, he's making some very bad political decisions as a result of all of that. So anyway, the reality here is that Republicans are going to have to stand up at some point, right? I mean, that's the whole point. Mike Johnson has signed on to the $61 billion aid package for Ukraine, only $26 billion for Israel, $9 billion for Gaza/Hamas. What are we doing to secure our border? What are we doing to protect our people, the American people? What are we doing? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Oh, by the way, I got word last night that the audio book is now available. The audio version of my new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, is now available up on Amazon. And if you want to get a copy, head over there and you can get yourself the audio version of Twilight's Last Gleaming. And want to thank Stephen Gardner, was on his YouTube show yesterday and just had a great time, covered a lot of ground, and I would encourage you to go back and watch the interview. I think he asked me one question about the book, and everything else was about current events, and it was a great back and forth. We appreciate Stephen Gardner inviting me to come on to the program. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. Again, 901-260-5926. Are you tired of woke services like Netflix, Disney Plus? What about Hulu? Well, if you are, you need to consider getting Newsmax Plus. It is now the fastest growing streaming service in America. With Newsmax Plus, you're going to be able to watch the Newsmax channel and Newsmax 2, our newest network and the home of the Todd Starnes TV show. You're going to love it. Again, President Trump says Newsmax Plus is absolutely terrific. You get to bypass the big media and you get the Newsmax channels. And they cover all the big Trump rallies live. We never censor President Trump like the other networks or cable channels do. So the best part of all, you can start this with a free trial today, right now. Cost absolutely nothing to start. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com to register. That's NewsmaxPlus.com.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, folks, coming up, Congressman John Rose is going to join the program. Also, Congressman Greg Stube. And a little bit later on, Karen Kingsbury, a New York Times bestselling author, has an incredible new movie out in theaters. Also, a great TV series as well. So we'll be talking to Karen Kingsbury a little bit later on. That's going to be a fun conversation. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. All right. Want to play some audio here from Josh Hawley. Now, Senator Hawley has been taking Alejandro Mayorkas to task over the open borders. It's just unbelievable what's been going on. And Senator Hawley is one of these guys who is just fed up with the lawlessness. Cut 29.
Travis Wolf. Do you know that name?
Not off the top of my head.
Travis Wolf is a 12-year-old boy from Missouri. This is him. Travis was killed on December 20th, 2023, or I should say he was in a tragic attack on that night. He died some weeks later, head-on collision. The person driving the vehicle, who's now been charged with six criminal counts, is Indrina Bracco. Do you know who that is?
I do not, but let me communicate that I know that all of our hearts break for the family of this young boy who died in that accident.
Well, she's an illegal migrant here from Venezuela. Local law enforcement tell me that she was detained briefly at the border in 2023 and then released. And then she commits this crime. Multiple people have been stabbed in O'Fallon, Missouri, by illegal migrants. Mr. Secretary, I know that you think your policies are a success. You sat right there in that chair and you've told me over and over our policies are working. You're on the record years and years saying that. Maybe they're working for you. Maybe they're working for your political objectives, whatever they may be. I don't know. But they're not working for Lake and Riley or Travis Wolf or the people of my state.
Good for you, sir. Good for you. I want to go back to Mike Johnson for a moment. So what was it that Mike Johnson told us over and over and over and over and over and over and over again? He said there would be no money for Ukraine without border security. That's what Mike Johnson told us over and over and over and over again. That's what he told us. And what did we get? We got four bills, $61 billion for Ukraine, $26 billion for Israel, $8 billion for Taiwan. We also got a bill that would ban TikTok and would provide Ukraine with a loan. So I think it's fair to ask, what's happened to Speaker Mike Johnson? Do you think that he's been compromised? Do you believe that he's been blackmailed? Or do you just believe he's inept? He's not qualified to be a leader. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. I mean, it's Mike Johnson coming out here and telling us all of this. So I'd like to know what happened. What happened to the Mike Johnson that we used to admire as a congressman? What happened to that guy? And if you're talking to a lot of the Christian conservatives out there, they're now saying, well, we shouldn't go after Mike Johnson because he supports Israel. And that's really what this is all about. He's coming under fire because he's pro-Israel. No, that's not it at all. And when you look at the funding, it's very clear he is pro-Ukraine more so than he is pro-Israel. So I'm just wondering what's going on. What happened to you, Mike Johnson? What happened? I mean, it's really unbelievable. All right. Coming up, we're going to talk about what's happening on the Trump jury. And they're trying to seat a jury, and they're having a difficult time. Understand this. Just understand this. Trump's not going to get a fair trial here. They will seat a jury, and you watch what will happen. They're going to have people up there, oh, I just love Donald Trump. I just love the man. Mega, mega, mega. Make America great again. And that person gets seated on the jury, and all of a sudden, they turn out to be a plant. That's what's going to happen here. So there's no way that, barring a miracle, and it will have to be a miracle along the lines of, I don't know, Moses parting the Red Sea. It's going to have to be that big of a deal for Trump to get a fair trial here. I want you to listen. This is one of the prospective jurors at actually admitting that she lied under oath. Cut six.
Can you share your opinion of the former president and why you felt that you could be unbiased?
I'm not a fan. During COVID-19, I lived with someone who was immunocompromised, and I think his handling of COVID-19 was abysmal. I have a sister who's adopted from China, and the comments he made about China when he was running for president made her very anxious and therefore made me angry. There are policies he has supported that regard women and reproductive health that I do not agree with. And I think all of that needs to be addressed.
All right. First of all, now do you understand why guys in America are not dating? It's because of chicks like that. It really is. I mean, it's really pathetic. But anyway, these are the kinds of people that represent the jury pool base in New York City. And these are the people that will be deciding Donald Trump's fate. And I'm just telling you right here and now, there's no way Trump gets a fair trial here unless God intervenes. And it's going to have to be one heck of a miracle. I'm just saying, one heck of a miracle. All right, I've got to ask you a question here before we go to break. So there's been a lot of chatter about the WNBA. Clay Travis pointing out the NBA regular season, the lowest rated season in network TV history. It's been a disaster. And it's because of all the wokeness. I mean, this is why. It's just they've gone completely woke. So anyway, people are really upset because Caitlin Clark, she was just offered a four-year contract. And you ready for this? Dylan, $338,056 it's a four-year contract. And people are just blowing a gasket over this. Why is she only making that much money? She ought to be making hundreds of millions of dollars. Well, here's the dirty little secret about the WNBA. Nobody cares. I'm serious. Nobody cares. They have to rely on the NBA to subsidize their games. Wow. How does, I wonder if how that makes the feminist feel, that the WNBA would not be able to exist unless the men went out and actually played a basketball game. So the men have to go to work, and then they turn over that money so the girls can play basketball. And no, I'm not belittling anybody. All I'm saying is that, yeah, I mean, Caitlin Clark should probably get millions and millions of dollars, but if the WNBA isn't making a profit and they can't afford to cover that price tag, they're not going to be able to do it. That's as good as they're going to be able to pay. I'm just saying, it is what it is. All right, we report, ladies and gentlemen, you decide. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Satsas, that's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So happy to have you with us today. We are following the big developments up in New York City. Jury selection is underway. They've already had to dismiss two jurors who'd already been selected. So who's doing the vetting of all of these people? This is just absolutely insane. One of the jurists who was just, and by the way, this is Fox News reporting, one of the jury members who had already been selected was dismissed because she discussed with, I'll just read this to you. The dismissed Trump juror revealed what she discussed with other jurors, saying she's not sure the jury can be unbiased. One of the other guys said that he had been found guilty, or he had been charged with vandalizing a conservative property. That's crazy. So anyway, we'll keep you updated. This thing is nuts, and I'm still wondering if they're going to be able to seat a jury. But I'm telling you right now, I don't see how a fair trial is possible in New York City. I really don't. All right. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're honored to have with us from Tennessee's 6th Congressional District, Congressman John Rose. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
I'm doing very well. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on the show.
So, Congressman, you know, we're following the developments here on this Trump trial. You think he's going to be able to get a fair shot here?
Gosh, I would hate to be in his shoes right now. It seems very unlikely in that jurisdiction that he can get a fair trial. And so jury selection, of course, is all important because obviously they want to try to get some jurors who don't already have preconceived notions about the president and you know, who will listen to the evidence. And I think if they get that juror or jurors on the panel, then I think it will be hard for the prosecution to prevail here.
I'm with you there. It's just not looking good right now. And again, I would not be surprised. Some of these people are going to try and lie. They're going to say, oh, we love Donald Trump. And then, you know, they don't. But then again, this has to be a unanimous verdict, right? So there is hope, but it's going to take a miracle.
I think that's right. We've just seen in the past in New York and Washington and places like that the overwhelming majority of the jurors in the pool have preconceived determinations about they may lie about and say they're going to listen to the evidence, but it seems very this seems like a trial. If this was in Tennessee and the jurisdiction was similar, I think there'd be a change of venue. I think that would be an obvious choice, is to get to a place where there is a better chance of having a jury that can listen to the evidence and make a decision based on the facts as they're proven or not proven at trial.
Congressman, there's a lot of concern on Capitol Hill about this spending and about the money that looks like Congress is about to send to Ukraine and to Israel and Taiwan. Looks like Gaza's going to get what, about $9 billion. I think that's the proposal. Do you still have faith in Speaker Mike Johnson's ability to lead the caucus?
Well, I do. I think it's an impossibly tough job right now to lead such a narrowly divided House, and even with the divisions that we have in the Republican conference. So I think it's a tough road to go, and there is disagreement on these issues. The sad reality is, and I'm in a different place, I think, from many in the House, is that there is probably a majority of members, when you combine Republicans and Democrats, who want to send further aid to Ukraine and are willing to send it without a clear objective articulated by the president and without the guardrails that we'd like to see in terms of how that money is utilized and exactly where it's spent. Having said all that, I will tell you, I think we want Ukraine to be successful. We don't want them to be overrun by Russia. They have put up a very noble fight against the unscrupulous Russian invasion led by Vladimir Putin, and we want them to be successful. And so I'm not categorically opposed to trying to give them aid. It's just that this president has proven himself completely incompetent and unwilling to put in place a plan to see success. And so I feel like we're probably sending good money after bad, and we want to see Ukraine be successful, but the American taxpayers are kind of out of patience with this government in terms of securing the borders of a foreign nation when we aren't willing to secure our own borders.
Well, and that's the big concern that a lot of people have. I want to share this message from Senator Mike Lee. He says, this Frankenstein House supplemental package is an embarrassment to Republicans, an example of the swamp at its worst. It is a disgraceful attempt to use high priority, broadly supported Israel aid as a Trojan horse for a much more controversial spending. It certainly looks like that because, the bulk of it is all going to Ukraine and then everybody else. Do you agree with that assessment from Senator Lee?
Well, not entirely, because Speaker Johnson has put forward the proposals in a way that members are going to be able to, the question's going to be divided for votes up or down. Now, the one thing that makes it harder is that the Israel aid is combined with aid to Gaza, what is supposed to be humanitarian aid. And that's deeply troubling to me because we know from past experience that aid is likely to be monetized and converted into aid to Hamas. And so I'm deeply troubled, and that makes it a very difficult. I am supportive of Israel. I voted twice to support Israel, once in November last year, paid for. That bill is languishing over on the Senate side. Leader Schumer refusing to provide badly needed aid to Israel because he wanted it linked with aid to Hamas, and that's just the wrong-headed in my view. And so the Senate could solve that problem, with a snap of a finger by moving forward the legislation we've already sent there. We tried again earlier this year to pass that aid not paid for. That first package was paid for by eliminating IRS agents, new IRS agents. The second bill was did not pay for it. Democrats voted against it and killed that bill on the House floor. And so, I'm deeply troubled that now we're going to have to vote with a vote. And I'm going to offer an amendment to try to strip out Hamas.
And Congress, because in essence, what's happening here, if this goes through, the United States is going to be funding both sides of that war between Israel and Hamas. And just like we more than likely funded Iran's attack on Israel and then Israel's defense of the attack from Iran. It's just unbelievable what's going on.
You're exactly right, Mr. Starnes. It's perverse that we would send money. It's almost, that we're basically sending money to fund both sides and then we're going to sit back and watch the fight. It really is that bizarre and that perverse. And I think you're right about in the case of Iran. Certainly, this president has allowed them to make money off of oil sales. The former president, President Trump, had brought those to a trickle, those sales of oil, and this president has released money to the Iranians. We all know money's fungible, so, you know, you can say it's going for humanitarian purposes, but every dollar that they can spend one place, they can move it another and, you know, use their money in a different place. And so that's what's happening. And it's really unconscionable. And we should not, I'm deeply troubled because I want to help Israel and I believe they need our help, but it's kind of like, you know, two steps forward, one step back.
But again, going back to Speaker Johnson, and I will, you know, again, I know that you support the speaker. I did. I was a big proponent. As soon as he got that gavel, everything was cut off. All communication. We have tried to reach out, and I know a lot of other conservatives are dealing with the same issue. And a lot of the issues that he opposed when he was a congressman, he now supports as the speaker. And it's confusing a lot of people, concerning a lot of people. And this thing about the border, I think, Congressman, is a big, big deal. And he needs to understand that the average American doesn't understand why we're protecting Ukraine's border, but we're leaving our own backyard wide open.
Well, again, I completely agree. I think that should be our first priority, is to get our own border under control and force the president. I'm going to offer an amendment also to one of these bills, the one for Ukraine funding. That's pretty straight up. It's the amendment I'm offering is going to say, okay, we'll give you the Ukraine aid, but for every $1 billion, you don't get the money until you complete a mile of fence at the southern border, a mile of the border wall, on a mile per billion basis. And, you know, it is some people might argue is that wouldn't solve the problem, but I think what it will illustrate if we get a vote on that amendment is that the Democrats and the president are so committed to their open border policy at our southern border that they would reject things that they otherwise want in exchange for avoiding having to do something they don't want to do. This idea of letting millions come across our southern border is something that they're just absolutely committed to. The president, it is his policy to do this. He's succeeding at implementing his policy. And unfortunately, even though we've passed legislation that would force him to stop this, the Senate, again, won't take up that legislation. Hopefully we will try that again. But I do believe we should have figured out a way to link any aid to defending Ukraine's border to first securing our own border.
All right. And in closing, on that note, with President Biden, he is in Philadelphia, fierce protest right now underway with members of his own party. Is it safe to say that he has a big issue here? Because it looks like he's trying to appease the pro-Palestinian base of the Democrat Party instead of standing alongside Israel.
Well, that's exactly right, and we saw this play out. I mentioned we had voted twice on the House side on aid to Israel. The second time it was under a suspension of the rules, which would require a two-thirds vote, and he issued a veto threat to aid to Israel. And I think the Jewish lobby, the Israel lobby, pro-Israel lobby, and Christians here that think we should come to Israel's aid should all take note that this president has made it very clear where he stands. And he is willing to sacrifice the badly needed aid to Israel in exchange for placating or kowtowing to his, extreme base that are pro-Hamas and want to, you know, unleash that kind of terrorism on Israel on a recurring basis. And that's just unacceptable.
All right. Well, Congressman, appreciate your time. And thank you again for coming on the program. We'd love to get you back soon.
Yes, thank you for having me, and it's a great honor to represent the good people of Tennessee.
All right. Congressman John Rose, everybody. He represents District 6 here in the Volunteer State, and we appreciate him coming on. And, again, this is a head-scratcher here, folks, but people are getting riled up because Mike Johnson has been saying from day one that we're not going to have Ukraine funding without funding the border, and our own border, and that is not going to happen. And this idea that we are going to be funding both sides of the war in Israel, Yeah, I got big problems with that. All right, 901-260-5926 is our number. Let's go real quick to Mary in Georgia, wants to weigh in on the Trump jury. Hi, Mary. What's on your mind?
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. Go ahead, Mary.
I think that Americans giving their money away, and I hate that. I'm 89 years old, and I don't have any. I'm half $1 million is all I've got, and they cut my Social Security off for 2 or 3 months, and it just scraps the hell out of me.
Well, Mary, I hear you, Mary, and it's enough to rile up anybody what's happening right now. And the idea that our tax money is going over there to fund both sides of a war is enough to make anybody outraged. Mary, appreciate that call. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
You just became a citizen of the United States, so that means you've never voted in a presidential election.
Exactly.
You're called to be a juror, and this is the jury that you are called to.
Yes.
What was that? Unbelievable. That is unbelievable.
I know.
What was your impression of Donald Trump when you saw him?
He looked less orange, definitely, like more yellows, yellow. Nothing else than that. He looks... he doesn't look angry, or I think he looks bored. Like he wants this to finish and go do his stuff. That's how
Did you have any discussions with other jurors when you left the room about kind of how huge this case was?
Yes.
How historic it was going to be?
Yeah, everybody.
What were they saying? What were you guys talking about?
About this. It's a historical case, and, this is going to define so many things. But at the same time, our job as a juror, right, is to be impartial, like to be unbiased. So it was weird, like the whole atmosphere, like, such an important case at the same time. Yeah.
Wow. You can't make this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen. And I am telling you that they're going to be very hard-pressed to find a jury pool. Remember how we were talking about this yesterday, and I was asking our expert, do you really think that they're going to be able to find an impartial jury in New York City? They will not. So we have to hope and pray that there's got to be at least one or two Trump supporters that'll be able to get their way onto that jury. Jeez, Alou. Oh, I like the orange man. Okay, that chick's pro-Trump. You think so? She's barely a citizen, for crying out loud. This is unbelievable. So we'll play more of this coming up a little bit later on. We have more audio from prospective jurors, some of whom are just outright lying. And they've already had to dismiss 2 of the 7 that have already been picked because they got caught. And here's my question. All right, are they going to face charges? These jurors that were just dismissed, they lied. They lied to get on the jury. They're going to face charges? Or are you just going to trump up stuff against Donald J? Unbelievable. All right, folks, 901-260-5926. Do you think that Trump is going to be able to get a fair trial here in New York City? 901-260-5926. By the way, I want you to head over to our website. I want you to do 2 things. We have a lot of new listeners out there. You go and download our free newsletter and our free podcast, all 3 hours of the Todd Stearns Radio Show. You'll be able to do that free of charge. And then go check out our store. We have some great, great products for you to check out, including all of my books. And I am more than happy to sign, autograph a copy. The new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, is a great Mother's Day or Father's Day present. And we're happy to personalize those for you over at the ToddStearns.com store. All right, hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show, an honor to be broadcasting on 160 radio stations, border to border, coast to coast, across the Fruited Plain. Our telephone number, if you want to call in, 901 260-5926. Well, our next guest is leading more than 59 colleagues in the House of Representatives introducing the Iranian Terror Prevention Act. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now is our good friend from Florida, the great Congressman Greg Stube. Congressman, good to have you with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, well, let's just jump into this. What will this Prevention Act do?
Well, it'll take all of these Shia militia, Iranian-backed proxy groups and put them on the FTO list, which is the Foreign Terrorist Organization list. And the consequences for that is anybody, it makes it unlawful internationally to provide material, support, or resources to anybody that is designated as a foreign terrorist organization. The Houthis, which are included in this bill, the Houthis were designated under the Trump administration, and of course, as soon as Joe Biden got elected, he took them off the list, which allows them to get currency and money and training and advice and documentations and weapons and all of this from anywhere in the world. If they get this designation, that anybody that does business with us cannot provide any of that currency, weapons, facilities, explosives, personnel, transportation to any of these organizations. So it's a really big designation internationally because it allows us as the United States to use our power and our ability internationally to cut off the financing and support of these different organizations. And it just tells you a lot that Trump had the Houthis on, and the moment Biden gets there, he puts them back, he takes them off, allowing them to get all of the money from all of these different organizations and to commit terror across our world.
And we're talking about groups that have like attacked the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad a number of times, along with our troops in Iraq.
Yeah, I'd read to you the organizations, but I'm not good with Arabic, so I would probably mispronounce what they are. But if they go to our website, they can see the different organizations. But they're all owned or controlled by the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps.
Unbelievable.
So these are all extremist Muslim terrorist groups that their mission in life is to go after Israel, to go after the United States. And they use weapons and attack our troops. These organizations that have attacked our troops over the last year now, since we've had all this tension in the Middle East because of Joe Biden's weakness.
And glad to see the Republican Study Committee signing on to this as well. That's very good news. You know, Congressman, I want to get your take on whatever is about to happen today with this funding for Ukraine and Israel. There are a lot of very upset people over on the House Freedom Caucus side. Where do you stand on this foreign aid package?
I'm one of those that are extremely frustrated. I'm extremely disappointed. Not only are we going to give another $60 billion to Ukraine after we've given them $112 billion, which is more money than we've given Afghanistan in the 20 years that we were there, or spent in Afghanistan while we were there. There's no pay for. Like, we're not even putting a mechanism in place to pay for an additional $100 billion at a time where we are $34 trillion in debt. We are spending $2.5 trillion more a year than we're taking in. So we're running a $2.5 trillion deficit. We're economically in a very challenged circumstance, and we're going to give money to Ukraine. The people I've talked to in my district think that that's a horrible idea. I've filed bills and done amendments on transparency. The White House absolutely doesn't want any transparency on the money that is going to Ukraine. We have reports of $40 million being stolen by generals in Ukraine. I met with some German parliament individuals who said they gave weapons to Ukraine and they were showing up in Brussels. That there's all of this corruption that is being evidenced. And I'm simply asking for transparency on the money that we have spent. There's zero strategic plan from this White House as to what we are doing in Ukraine. Why would we give them more money without a plan? I was a military guy. I served in the military. I served in Operation Iraqi Freedom. We always had a mission, purpose, and an objective. Like, why are we doing what we are doing, and what is our objective when we hit whatever, you know, objective it is? And there's no leadership or strategy coming out of the White House. It's what we're doing in Ukraine. What are we doing in Ukraine other than handing them blank checks with zero oversight whatsoever as to where the money goes, depleting our own ammos and weapons systems, and in the current state of the world, not on top of what's happening with Israel and Israel being attacked by Iran. All of this, again, all of this is because of the decisions that this administration have made to open up and relieve sanctions on Iran and open up billions of dollars of revenue to them. It's very frustrating as a former military guy that served to see the state of our country and the state of our world.
Well,
so I will not be voting for Ukraine aid. And right now the Rules Committee is discussing the bill. We don't even know if it's going to pass the Rules Committee.
Well, and this is what's crazy about it. When you look at the Israeli funding, and this is clearly all about Ukraine. I mean, when you look at this, what, $61 billion, and then you look at what they're...
Two-thirds of it.
Right. And then you've got, what, $9 billion going to Gaza? It looks to me, Congressman, like we're going to be funding both sides of the war over there now.
And Biden did just that right before Hamas invaded Israel. So I believe it was September, the Biden administration, through Secretary Blinken, sent a check for $250 or $300 million to the Palestinian Authority in the form of humanitarian aid. And we all know that the Palestinian Authority is run by Hamas. And then a month later, they're invading Israel, I can guarantee you, using the resources and the money that Americans have spent. So you've got the White House sending money to Gaza in the form of humanitarian aid that's being used in this war. You've got them opening up and doing relief sanctions on the Iranians, which is opening it up billions of dollars for the Iranians to use money to attack our allies and to attack our personnel. And now we're going to just be sending blank checks to not only Israel, but also to Ukraine and also to Taiwan. Where did Taiwan come in all of this? There's like, I think it's 18 or 10 billion dollars to Taiwan. Like all of a sudden now we're going to just throw billions of dollars into Taiwan. Again, when we are economically not in a position to be able to not pay for these dollars, so we're going to borrow from China to then spend $100 billion to give it to the Ukrainians. It just doesn't make any sense.
I love what MTG, I mean, you love her, hate her, whatever, folks, but she introduced multiple amendments to the Ukraine aid bill, which would divert funding to support the victims of East Palestine, Ohio, and Maui, Hawaii. You know, it seems we seem to forget that there are plenty of Americans suffering and in need of aid and help here in America, Congressman.
Yeah, I have a disaster relief bill. My district was decimated by Hurricane Ian. I've been working on that disaster. It's a disaster tax relief bill. So if you had expenses as it related to Hurricane Ian, and I amended it so that the folks in Ohio that had the train derailment, the folks in Maui that had the wildfires, the folks in California that had the wildfires would be able to at least deduct the expenses from their taxes. And it is stuck in the process. It passed in a committee bill in the tax package, and it now sits in the Senate. And the rumor is, from what I'm hearing, is the tax package is dead in the Senate. So a great example of where we're helping Ukrainians, people in Taiwan, people in Israel, before we're helping people in our own country who are American taxpayers, citizens who have been decimated by a natural disaster. That's why, I mean, it's very frustrating to be up here and to try to fight for your district and to try to bring things back for your district, and then you're faced with these type of bills that seem to be the priority only because they're the priority of the Democrats, and suddenly it's the priority of this House for some reason.
So is there anything at all that the Speaker of the House can do to stop any of this? Anything at all?
Yeah, he could just say no. I mean, if I was Speaker for the day, I would use the appropriations process to accomplish our policy objectives, which is what Kevin McCarthy and the leadership told us when we went into the majority. We have the purse strings. The founders of our Constitution gave the House the ability to appropriate money. You say, hey, Joe Biden, you're not getting any money for this open border. We're going to shut down, you know, certain segments of the government if you don't shut down the border. You're not going to get money for Ukraine until you shut down the border. You're not going to get money for Ukraine until you pass this relief for people affected by a natural disaster. You can use that process, which is what was so frustrating in this last appropriations bill that passed. We took up what the Senate had passed. For the first time in the history of our country, you had a Republican speaker allowing a bill to pass that he voted for that allowed for late-term abortion, that allowed for LGBTQ transition centers, was all in this bill. There's a, if you go to my...
Oh, I know. We've been talking about it, Congress.
There's a whole list of things. And so that's how you can accomplish goals, is using the power of the purse. And we're not doing that. And it's extremely frustrating for there was a majority of the majority that voted against that bill. There was 112 Republicans that voted against that minibus, that spending bill, this last time. So you have the majority of the majority saying no, yet all of the Democrats with the minority of Republicans voting to pass these pieces of legislation.
Any idea why Mike Johnson is doing this? Why he's not saying no? Are you guys getting any answers?
I don't know specifically, but I believe that they are so afraid to shut down the government. And his argument is, well, the Democrats have the Senate and the Democrats have the White House, so this is the best we can do. No, it's not the best we can do. We need to be bold and we need to stand with the American people, especially on the border. I mean, that's an 80% political issue. Even Democrats and independents will tell you that what's happening on the border is un-American. It's not good for our country, that it's going against the safety and security of the American people. I mean, in that minibus, the last one we voted on was $400 million to Jordan for their border. But we are not going to do funding for the border wall or for the safety and security of the American people. We're going to give $400 million to the country of Jordan for their border security, but not to this country.
Wow.
I don't know how, as a Republican, you could vote for that.
I hear you. Well, Congressman, we've gone over our time here. Really appreciate you coming on the show. And thanks for fighting the good fight up there.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right. Congressman Greg Stube, Florida's 17th Congressional District. You know, it's really frustrating when you have Republicans in charge and they do not want to lead. And you heard it. Congressman Stube said all the speaker has to do is say no and stand his ground. But he's right about this. They're terrified. They're terrified of being accused of shutting down the government. They're terrified of that. And so the Democrats know this, and they use that, and they do it quite effectively, and the Republicans fall for it every single time because they're afraid that you guys are going to get upset if the government is shut down. I don't think you would get upset. I think there would be people cheering the government shutting down. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. The latest from the Trump jury selection. We may not even have a jury seated by the election. Two of the seven seated jurors have already been dismissed, one for lying. So that's where we are. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, coming up, Karen Kingsbury is going to drop by. It's been a while since we've had Karen on the show. Looking forward to that conversation coming up. She's got a great new series out called The Baxters. All you folks looking for family-friendly programming and a brand-new movie out in theaters. Karen Kingsbury, the New York Times best-selling author. So there you go. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. I want to play some audio here. This is from CNN, cut number 28.
Well, herself, I mean, today we heard Trump react audibly and start gesturing in the direction of the juror. This was a juror who was brought in for individual questioning to be asked about a post on social media, a video showing a type of celebration. The juror was questioned. Trump's lawyers believe that this was an anti-Trump event. It was around the 2020 election, which Trump lost to Joe Biden. And the juror said that she was just filming a New York celebration in the streets. The judge saying that he believed this juror could be fair. He said he looked her in the eye and thought she could be fair and impartial despite posting this video. So he refused to excuse her for cause. But, you know, this is just day two of this trial, and we're already seeing the former president react.
Well, there you go from CNN, the coverage there. Also, this is MSDNC. The judge did allow a juror to remain even after Trump's lawyers pointed out that there was a social media video of her celebrating the 2020 election for the other side. Cut number 27.
And the first
one. What does that mean? I mean, they're not on trial.
Well, that was, so the judge actually reminded them of that. But they had things on their social media posts that Donald Trump and his lawyers found troubling. Mm-hmm. So the first one.
In the category of bias.
Bias, yeah, because you're wondering, you know, what are they posting, mm-hmm. and will it go to whether or not they can be fair? Mm-hmm. So they asked about, then the first one was juror number one. So the first one. and they bring up some social media posts to the judge. The judge wants to see them. They've screenshotted it. The judge is looking at them, and he's really confused. He says, did you give me the right piece of paper? He didn't even understand what he was looking at. So there were some questions between that, and he ended up wanting to see. They were videos. They were screenshots of videos. And one of the videos happened to be the juror number one, had taken a video at a distance of what looked like a celebration in the streets of New York for when Trump lost in 2020. I think that was it. Mm-hmm. And it showed that she was biased, and there was some language that suggested that she might have a bias. So she was called in and interviewed by the judge, and she said she happened to take the video when it was on the Upper West Side, and she was outside parking her car, and there was people celebrating in the distance. So she thought it was a very New York moment, and she mm-hmm. posted it. Mm-hmm. I also loved that it involved alternate side parking.
Yes. Yeah.
In New York, it all comes down to that in New York. So she was interviewed and left the room, and then we didn't have the cameras on, so we didn't have a visual of Donald Trump at this point from the overflow room that I sit in. We have closed circuit TVs, but the judge there was some back and forth between the lawyers, and then the judge actually admonished the former president because he was huffing and puffing and gesturing towards the juror. The judge said it was completely inappropriate, and he said, I won't tolerate it. I won't have any jurors intimidated in this courtroom. Mm. And his lawyer had to go speak to him. So that was like a moment. And the judge found in this case, in this juror, that this juror could continue.
All right. So, look, Trump is right to be disgusted. And I don't care what the judge says. Trump ought to stick to his battle plan here. By the way, this just coming in from Kansas, where Congressman Jake LaTourneur says he will not be seeking another term in Congress. He is in his second term. He will not be seeking reelection in November. But he is going to continue to serve. So he's not wrapping things up now and throwing the House into further disarray. My understanding from our sources, the guy said he's a young guy. He's got a very young family, and his dad died just a few months ago. So he's done going back to Kansas. Jake LaTourneur represented the second congressional district there in Kansas. So he's a good guy. So there's nothing sordid here at all. All right. Hang tight, folks. We've got to take a quick break, catch up on the top of the hour headlines. In the meantime, have you gone over to our website and gotten a copy of my new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? Man, a lot of you have already. We have thousands of you, and we're grateful for that. But we want thousands more to get a copy of it. Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? Yes, America can be saved. And I show you how in this book, available at your favorite bookstore or also over at the website. We'll be right back, everybody.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us today. Jury selection resuming in New York City. Also, huge protests are underway at Columbia University in New York City over on the Upper West Side. As a matter of fact, police are now moving in and they are arresting these pro-Hamas Jew haters that have commandeered a good chunk of the campus. We're going to check out those developments throughout the day. Good for the police. Good for Columbia University finally cracking down. By the way, yesterday on this program, we told you the story of President Biden, and he told us a story about his uncle. And the uncle was flying a plane that was shot down, and he was eaten by the cannibals. And so now we can confirm the White House now telling us that President Biden's uncle was not served as an hors d'oeuvre to cannibals. That did not happen. They say that he died tragically when his plane crashed into the Pacific Ocean, and apparently he was not even flying the plane. He just happened to be in the plane when it crashed. Still a tragedy. But Joe Biden, again, either lying or just making things up, or maybe he's living in some sort of an alternate world right now. Maybe that's what's going on. Meanwhile, President Biden had a word of warning to Israel yesterday, cut 19.
And I made it clear to Israelis, don't move on Haifa. It's just not, I mean, anyway, I just, look what we did recently when Israel was attacked.
Oh, boy. Yeah. All right. Somebody needs to let the president know that Haifa is actually a town, a city in Israel. So the good news here is Israel will not be moving on Haifa because it's part of Israel. It's a tragedy, ladies and gentlemen, an absolute tragedy that this is going on, but here we go. All right. By the way, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Do you wonder if, do you think he's faking it? You know, there are some people out there who say, Todd, no, he may be old, but he's a shrewd dude. That he's really just faking incompetence. He's feigning senility. He's really not addled with dementia. That it's all part of a ruse. It's all part of an act. He's trying to pull a fast one on all of us. Do you really think that's the case, or do you think the guy is, the cheese is slid off the cracker, as they say? Part of me wants to believe that, but I don't think so. I think this guy, his mind is gone. That's what I think is going on here. Oh, we're going to get you some new audio coming in. This is going to be great. I'm telling, by the way, protesters, huge protest outside of the Biden event in Philadelphia. Meanwhile, you know where we didn't see protesters? When President Trump went to Harlem. Isn't that fascinating? President Trump went to Harlem and nobody was out there protesting the president. They were all out there cheering President Trump in deep blue Harlem. If this is a fair election coming up, Trump wins in a landslide. I'm on the record right now. Dylan, check your email. I sent you some audio. Let me know when you get this one. It's a hoot. It's a doozy. But again, all of this goes back to whether or not we're going to have a fair and free election. And I know a lot of you folks are concerned about that, but if we get out and do our job, if we get out and do our part, which is to vote, and we vote in numbers that are so massive that they cannot cheat, they cannot steal, then I think we're going to be okay. All right, let's listen.
Pledge our unwavering support to President Joe Biden and President Kamala Harris. God bless all of you. God bless America. And please welcome President Joe Biden.
All right, there you go. Please welcome. I'm telling you, folks, there's somebody else running the show here. And his name is Barack Hussein Obama. He should have been introduced from the pulpit. That's what I'm saying. All right, 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, I've got to tell you about what's happening over at MyPillow with our good buddy Mike Lindell. And, man, they have been really taking it on the chin. The big box stores pulling all their products. And people are really trying to punish Mike Lindell for just being a great American patriot. So the good news here is that Mike has just eliminated the middleman, and now you're going to be able to go directly to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes, and you're going to be able to get some incredible deals. It's called the $25 Extravaganza, a two-pack of MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. 6-pack of the towels, just $25. So you kind of see where we're going with all of this. All you have to do is go to MyPillow.com. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. Use my promo code Starnes. That will activate all of the great discounts. You can also call them at 1-800-839-8506. That's 800-839-8506. And be sure to use that promo code Starnes. All right, Nancy Pelosi, the former House Speaker. Nancy is on CNN, and Nancy is praising Speaker Mike Johnson. And she says that the Republican Speaker of the House is courageous for pushing the Ukraine aid vote without any money for our border at all. So the question here, ladies and gentlemen, does Speaker Mike Johnson need to go? Or should we allow him to remain in power until the 2024 presidential election? What say you? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Curious to hear your thoughts on what you think we ought to do with Speaker Johnson. Want to play some audio for you. This is from a New York Times reporter, Suzanne Craig, describing a scene from inside Trump's jury selection. Cut 21.
And the first
one. What
does
that mean? I mean, they're not on trial.
Well, that was the judge actually reminded them of that. But they had things on their social media posts that Donald Trump and his lawyers found troubling. Mm-hmm. So the first one.
In the category of bias.
Of bias, yeah, because you're wondering, you know, what are they posting, mm-hmm. and will it go to whether or not they can be fair? Mm-hmm. So they asked about, then the first one was juror number one. So the first one. And they bring up some social media posts to the judge. The judge wants to see them. They've screenshotted it. The mm-hmm. judge is looking at them, and he's really confused. He says, did you give me the right piece of paper? He didn't even understand what he was looking at. So there was some questions between that, and he ended up wanting to see. They were videos. They were screenshots of videos. And one of the videos happened to be the juror number one, had taken a video at a distance of what looked like a celebration in the streets of New York for when Trump lost in 2020. I think that was it. Mm-hmm. And it showed that she was biased, and there was some language that suggested that she might have a bias. So she was called in and interviewed by the judge, and she said she happened to take the video when it was on the Upper West Side, and she was outside parking her car, and there was people celebrating in the distance. So she thought it was a very New York moment, and she mm-hmm. posted it. Mm-hmm. I also loved that it involved alternate side parking.
In
New York. It all comes down to that in New York. So she was interviewed and left the room, and then we didn't have the cameras on, so we didn't have a visual of Donald Trump at this point from the overflow room that I sit in. We have closed circuit TVs, but the judge there was some back and forth between the lawyers, and then the judge actually admonished the former president because he was huffing and puffing and gesturing towards the juror. The judge said it was completely inappropriate, and he said, I won't tolerate it. I won't have any jurors intimidated in this courtroom. Mm. And his lawyer had to go speak to him. So that was like a moment. And the judge found in this case, in this juror, that this juror could continue.
All right. So a little bit more color inside the courtroom there in New York City. Oh, black voters in Chicago, very upset over the Democrats and their efforts to shove the illegals into their neighborhoods. Cut number two, please.
To align yourself with somebody who's obviously a one-term mayor, if he even makes it that far, you better be worrying about your job. Uh-oh. You better be worrying about your longevity.
Uh-oh.
Because we're going to vote, and we're going to get you out, because you ain't doing right by us. That's what time it is.
Ain't doing right by. That's what time it is. It's true. I'm telling you. And by the way, how many Republicans have actually been out there to hold rallies in Chicago's South Side? That would be a big zero. Missed opportunity. Good friend of mine, Senator Brent Taylor from a Memphis area. He is a Republican, and he is not afraid of this woke mob out here in these parts. And Senator Taylor is talking about how hard. Well, I just want you to hear what the senator had to say. Cut one.
Because a lot of people
in Memphis have worked on this legislation. I mean, they have worked harder than a bunch of ugly strippers to try to get this done. And I want to make sure that we don't drop the ball here. So I'm willing to roll this to next week to give me opportunity to get with the chairman of the Finance Committee.
Without objection.
Well, all the rumbling you heard were Democrats who were upset, who got offended. How dare he? Who does he think he is? Who do you think you are, Brent Taylor? Who do you think you are criticizing strippers? They can't help the way they were born. Well, that's why God gave us plastic surgery and makeup. Just slather it on, girls. I'm just saying. But it is true. I mean, if you... Now, I've never been inside a strip club before, but I will say this. I have to imagine that the more attractive strippers probably have a better chance of getting, you know, a few $5 bills tucked into the, wherevers. The lady parts. But if you're an ugly stripper, well, what the senator is trying to say here makes a lot of sense. I mean, ugly strippers, they got to work hard. And a lot of times, you know, what's the saying? You get A for effort, right? So, I mean, you get out there and you may not be, I don't know, what's the term? You might not be a classically beautiful stripper, but you get out there and you work hard and you twirl around your pole and whatnot, and you may be rewarded by the end of your shift. I don't know. I think that's what he was trying to say. Anyway, the Democrats are very upset, and they say that Senator Taylor should apologize because he offended ugly strippers. I have not heard of a situation where someone was asked to put a bag over their face. That's butt ugly. I don't think we're talking about butt ugly here. We're just talking about regular, run-of-the-mill ugly. Again, not classically beautiful ugly. That's what he's talking about there. If I'm guessing, I don't know. So anyway, good for you, Senator Taylor. A little humor, sort of our version of Senator John Kennedy out of Louisiana, who's a great fellow. Oh, by the way, bad news for you people in Memphis. Cut number 11.
This is the most dangerous city in America. Memphis is the most deadly city in the United States. There were 15,618 violent crime incidences in 2022, including 2,134 robbery counts, 289 murder charges, and 12,484 assault counts. There is a 1 in 40 risk that a citizen may become a victim of a violent crime, with the rate of violent crime being 652% greater than the national average. During the Prohibition era, Memphis became a hub for bootlegging and organized crime. The city's location on the Mississippi River made it an ideal spot for smuggling alcohol. Gangs like the Shelton Brothers, led by Clay and Marvin Shelton, controlled much of the illegal liquor trade in the area. Elvis Presley, the king of rock and roll, had a group of close friends and associates known as the Memphis Mafia. While not involved in criminal activity in the traditional sense, the Memphis Mafia was known for its loyalty to Elvis and its involvement in his personal and professional life.
All right. The Memphis Mafia was not an actual mafia. Who is this moron? We do have problems here, but the Memphis Mafia was not an actual mafia. You got to love this stuff, folks. You just got to love it. Oh, by the way, coming up next week, going to be hanging out with our good buddy Bill O'Reilly. Bill's invited us on the big show to talk about Twilight's Last Gleaming. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that conversation. And I want to thank our good buddy Stephen Gardner for inviting me on his YouTube channel. The guy's got a massive following, and we had a great conversation about politics, culture, and where things are at right now in the country. And go check out his YouTube page, and you'll be able to watch that terrific interview. All right, President Biden, well, he's off the beaten path again. Cut 14.
I was in one of those 8x10 bathrooms, you know, they have shower, toilet, and a sink, and I got a towel on me and shaving cream, and I hear bam, bam, bam at my door really loudly. And wondering, what the hell is that? I thought it was this guy, Bob Cunningham, had a radio show and a couple other guys. So I said, okay, guys. And I walked to the door and opened it up, and standing there was the former governor of the state of Delaware, Albert N. Carville, a big guy, about 6'5", talked at you like this.
Wow. So he opened the door. So the governor of Delaware was knocking on his bathroom door, and Biden opens the door in a bath towel. That's an image that will burn into your minds, ladies and gentlemen. Well, there you go. That's Joe Biden. Harvard has a new study out. The Harvard Ute poll. They're saying President Biden's lead with young voters is shrinking. This story from Newsmax. According to the poll, Biden came out ahead of Trump by 45% to 37% among voters ages 18 to 29, 16% remaining undecided. The percentage point margin is much smaller than it was in the 2020 election when Biden was ahead of Trump by 23 percentage points. So there you go. I'm telling you, there is big trouble brewing for these Democrats. Mark my words. All right, coming up next, ladies and gentlemen, our good friend Karen Kingsbury is going to be here. The New York Times bestselling author has a brand new movie out called Someone Like You, opened in theaters nationwide, and also has a terrific TV series called The Baxters. We're going to be catching up with our good friend Karen Kingsbury coming up. Also, head over to ToddStarnes.com and take advantage of all of our great stories and other information there on our website. We'll be right back, folks.
Life can feel serene, and then a single rock breaks the surface.
London?
Sending ripples through all of time.
It's been a hard year.
I'm so sorry.
London was an in vitro baby.
The procedure gave us two embryos.
Saying London might have a sibling?
Hi.
Can we talk?
This is incredible. Were you in love with her?
You can't bring her back.
I could stay here forever.
She's not ours. She's not London.
You're pushing me away.
Every time that I'm with you, I was looking at London all over again.
I can't change the past.
She always wanted me to find someone like you.
All right, that was the trailer from the brand new major motion picture, Someone Like You. It's already in theaters, and the person behind all of this is our good friend, Karen Kingsbury, the New York Times bestselling author, and she is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Karen, it's been a long time.
It has been way too long, Todd. I'm so glad to get to chat with you today. This is great.
Well, first of all, congratulations. The film is absolutely terrific. Congratulations. What did you think? What did you think about the new movie?
Well, gosh, I mean, the audience score has been through the roof. We've had it. It's the highest audience score of any movie in theaters since we released. We opened on April 2nd, and we're getting more time. So we're just super thankful. We're excited about this weekend and thinking that momentum is just going to continue to build. And 2 years of making the movie, Todd, I tell you, is the most incredible, difficult, challenging, and exciting thing I've ever done creatively.
So you are an incredible author. I don't know how you write the way you write. It's just so phenomenal. And you're churning out the books. And one day you wake up and you say, you know what, we're going to do a movie. How does that work? How did that process work?
Well, you know, other people had made books, my books, into TV shows and to movies, and they, you know, everyone's done a good job and people have liked them, but it was never the book was never, you know, the book that God puts on my heart, he puts it on my heart like a movie. And what I want to see on the screen is what he gave me. I want to see something that beautiful, that, you know, that quality, and just even the messaging and the story being that similar to what I originally got. So we kind of, my husband and I looked at each other and we said, we had some, an investment that had come to fruition. And we said, what if we pay for it, we get to make the decisions. So what if we did this? What if we took $2 million and made a movie? Like, do we want to be on the other end of this life and say we could have, we should have, or do we just, you know, want to buy a couple houses and sit on our rocking chairs? And we just thought, you know, this is the time. Like, you can't take the money with you. Let's do something that it's possible. It's right in front of us. And so we said, all right, let's do it. Let's jump. And, you know, worked with some local in Nashville. We worked with local, a local producer and local crew and some young filmmakers who are very talented and were excited about the break. And everything that could go right did.
And so here you are. You've got this film. And that's really a huge leap of faith, I have to imagine. $2 million. How did it work out so far?
Well, you know, we were able to film it. We filmed it in October and November of 22, and we were on time and on budget. So really a miracle. Movies are hard to make, you know, as a challenge. We prayed every day. We asked God for wisdom. We asked him for favor, and he provided both. So we kept having, you know, an ability to move forward. Once we had the movie, now we needed to spend more. So we spent another $1.7 million, you know, really taking us through our savings, you know, to do the marketing and digital advertising and paying for ad campaigns and whatnot. And, you know, we're gonna make our money back and then some. And that raises the question, do we want to do another one? And that's kind of where we're at right now, trying to decide if it's something we want to do again. It was amazing. So I think we will.
Karen, let's talk about the movie, Someone Like You. Tell our listeners, what's the storyline?
Well, it's about a young architect, Dawson Gage, who is grieving the loss of his best friend, a girl he was in love with, but they were only friends. And in the grief process, he learns that she was born through in vitro fertilization, and there was an extra embryo. And the parents kind of, you know, donated it. They didn't want to throw it away. So they donated it to a fertility specialist and kind of let it go. They signed off that was going to be the end of it. They were giving it away. And so they feel like in the grieving time, and Dawson's close to his friend London's parents. So he's learning that they wish they would have told her that there was another, potentially a sibling out there somewhere. And Dawson takes it upon himself to go find the sibling, brother or sister, something he can do for London, to go find the sibling and maybe tell this person, you know, about London. That's what he wants to do. But in the process, he finds Andy Allen, a girl who looks just like London, played by the same actress, and, you know, different in many ways, too. And so he connects with her. She has no idea she was adopted as an embryo. So this is a problem. Rocks her world. And she ends up taking a journey with Dawson through the life of London to try to learn about this sister. And in the process, you know, they fall in love.
So again, folks, the name of the movie, Someone Like You, it's in theaters nationwide, also in Canada. KarenKingsbury.com is the website. That's KarenKingsbury.com. I'm curious, what's been the response from folks who've seen the film?
If we ever want to just cry, what we do is we just put on the soundtrack to the movie, which is just gorgeous, written by Michael W. Smith's son, Tyler Smith, and we read the letters. People saying that they've never seen such a beautiful movie. One girl said, I'm choosing to hold on to my faith after watching that movie. It's bringing hope to people. They want to see it again and again. We have some people who've seen it literally up to 10 times is what we're hearing. So it's an experience of the heart. It's something that's bringing people hope. And it's, you know, it's really an incredible experience for these times.
And that's what it's really about with your books, is so many people are moved by the novels that you write and the truth nuggets that are just tucked away in those stories. Is there a way to describe it other than it's just a God thing?
You know, it is a God thing. You know, I never feel like I'm making up stories that I write. They always feel like I'm the first reader. They're like that movie in my heart. And I think that's why filmmaking was so satisfying for me, that when I wrote Someone Like You, the last page, I felt like I heard God saying, this will be your first movie. And, you know, the readers call it life-changing fiction. So I guess now with movies, it's life-changing films.
I love this. And also, I was doing something the other night. I'm doing the channel surfing on Amazon Prime, and guess what? I run into The Baxters, which is a great book series. What do you think about that? Did they do a good job with the Baxter series?
They did. They did a great job. I mean, I didn't have anything to do with the making of it. I would, you know, there's some things I might have done differently, but people are loving it, and it's so beautiful. Starts with a scripture every single episode, and then kind of you see the story played out underneath that, you know, kind of scripture. The theme song called Family was written by my son Tyler and sung by him, and, you know, it's just perfect for it. So my heart is with the Baxters, and people are loving that as well. They've already pretty much binged the first three seasons, which were finished, you know, 5-6 years ago. But Amazon purchased MGM, who owned the Baxters, and it took a couple of years for them to sort through everything before they had the ability to put it up. And now, you know, who would have ever imagined it released 5 days before the movie Someone Like You appeared in theaters? So, you know, again, timing that I could never have imagined. And I think it's all worked for the good. So people are ready for season four.
I love this, and it's a great series, and I've enjoyed. I'm sort of binge watching that right now, so it's really a lot of fun. And of course, I've got all your books. Mm-hmm. You were so kind many years ago to start sending me all your books, and I've got those, and it's quite the library. I've got political books, and then Karen Kingsbury and Joel Rosenberg novels.
Oh, well, you know, I mean, you've been just such a good friend to me through the years, Todd, in terms of just like letting people know about the stories, and then, you know, it changes lives. So that's the thing. It's such a win when somebody picks up a book and they didn't know what was going to happen, but the message of hope and redemption and second chances comes in through the back door of the heart, where they may not have been teachable or open to anything faith related before, and now they will be because of the story.
And also, Karen, and we know this, the faith film community has really grown over the years, and it's so wonderful to see good storytelling, great cinematography, and that is something that you do as well, excellence in everything that you write and everything that you guys produce.
Well, thank you, and it should be that way. You know, I think all of us in the Christian film community are agreeing that we want people to come and see it. Like, we heard from one guy who he stumbled into the theater. He meant to go to, like, Godzilla, but he ended up going to see Someone Like You. And, like, long after the credits were over, he was still sitting there by himself, just staring at a blank screen. And one of the readers who was there in that day, you know, she was the one that told me the story. She went over and talked to him and said, you know, are you good? Are you okay? Like, did you like it? And he was, like, just teary-eyed. He said, I don't know what's happening, but something just shifted in my heart. And I feel like a different person. Like, I feel healed. And so that's, you know, it has to be excellent, because we don't want it to look different than regular movies. It should be a real movie, but just that instead of having a limitation on what is conveyed, we can include the spiritual element as well. Whether you're asking questions, running away from God, running toward Him, that should just seamlessly be a part of a deeper story that we are privileged to tell.
Karen, I'm thinking next novel, like a Godzilla monster love story.
There it is. There it is.
That's it.
And then we can have loud noises in the theater too, right?
That's it. I love it. All right. KarenKingsbury.com is the website. Everybody go to KarenKingsbury.com. You know, you and I are like 3 hours apart now, so we're going to have to try to get together for lunch one of these days.
I would love that. So when you're in Atlanta, right?
Memphis.
Oh, in Memphis, right in Memphis. Yeah. So yeah, that's so close. So,
right,
if I'm your way, I'm calling you.
All right.
You come my way, and we'll have lunch.
We'll do it. All right, Karen, congratulations. Good hearing from you.
Thank you so much, Todd. We'll talk again soon.
All right, Karen Kingsbury, everybody. And if you folks read her novels, her books, they are just really well done. And she is, I mean, just one of the most accomplished Christian authors and novelists in America, really the world. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. The movie, again, Someone Like You, and it's in theaters. Got to go check it out. Tickets on sale, and you're going to love this movie, and it's a good one. By the way, someone said, what about the book? Yes, Simon & Schuster has a movie tie-in edition of the book called Someone Like You as well. All right, we'll be right back. Hey, folks, coming up 5 o'clock Eastern tonight on Newsmax 2. You can watch on Newsmax's YouTube or social media feeds. We're going to have a lot of fun again, coming up at 5 o'clock Eastern. Then tonight, 8 o'clock, filling in for David Harris Jr. on Newsmax. So you can stick around and you can watch the conversation again. I want to go back to something we talked about in the first hour of the show. This nonsense over the furry community. And now it's going a little bit viral. Apparently, a lot of folks were listening to the first hour of the program, and this audio is now going a little viral. There is an ABC News report out there from Utah over middle school students who were protesting at Mount Nebo Middle School. They were upset. More than 70 students walked out of class, and they say the school was letting furries bite them, bark at them, and even lick them. It's unbelievable. But ABC actually interviewed one of the furries, someone dressed in one of these elaborate fur costumes, cut number 30.
Thank you.
This is Strudel, a member of the furry fandom. Though they've been a furry for over a decade, they have their own opinions.
It's crazy that it's escalated to this point where these kids are being so distracting to their peers that their peers want to stage a walkout. So to have, you know, the next generation kind of muddy our name and not represent it very well, it is kind of disappointing.
Strudel believes there should be some limits.
Continue doing things you like, continue dressing up, continue making art, but maybe let's keep it outside of school hours.
As for the school, Sorensen says they have one main goal.
We want every student to feel safe when they come to school, and we want students to get along. In fact, we want adults to get along.
It's unbelievable, right? And, but the school is saying, well, things were taken out of context. All right, well, what part of a student sniffing another child's butt is taken out of context? What exactly, what does that mean? Exactly. Unbelievable. And now you have this situation in Georgia where the fourth graders were presented this cartoon video where a little dog is now identifying as a kitty cat. Cut 17.
Hi, I'm Gulliver, and this is Emmett.
Hey!
Oh, hi. I'm Barry.
Oh, hey!
We are so excited you are here. We could use another dog.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice collar.
Oh, thank you. I like it.
So, what do you want to do first? Find a chew toy? Oh, chase our tail? Oh, I know. Let's sniff.
No, actually, I like to play with yarn. Yeah.
What?
It's fun. Yeah. Yeah, or I like to clean my paws like this. And you clean your face, too. Yeah. Or we could practice purring like this.
Purring?
Yeah. And we could try to meow.
Meow. Meow. Meow.
Like that. It's great fun. You should try it.
Why not?
Yeah, let's go.
Excuse me, would you? I just, I have to go for a second. I'll be right back.
No problem.
Meow!
Miss Madison? Miss Madison?
Oh, hey, Gulliver, you're back. Did you find Barry?
Yeah. We've got to talk.
He seems like a nice guy.
Oh, great guy, great guy. He thinks he's a cat.
He thinks he's a cat.
Yeah. He's over there talking about yarn, purring, woof, and licking.
Well, that's okay, isn't it?
I think you should talk to him.
About what?
Well, about being more like a dog.
Gulliver, you're really struggling with this.
It's weird.
It's not weird, just different. I couldn't ask Barry to change who he is. That would make him really sad.
Yeah, but...
Gulliver, accepting people for who they are is a very important skill. We accept you for who you are.
That's different. I'm a dog who acts like a dog. Well, that's normal.
Not normal, just more common.
I don't understand.
It's okay to have questions. Questions are good if they help you accept someone for who they are.
All right, there you go, folks. That is what radical indoctrination looks like right there. Taking these cute little cartoon characters and then turning it into a story where And it's really propaganda where they're trying to teach your little child. This was given to fourth graders. They're trying to teach fourth graders that there's nothing wrong with little boys who think they are girls, or little boys who might think they're cats or dogs, which, again, is the you do have to wonder now with the furries and the rise of these furry characters. Are we going to be in a situation maybe in the next year or so where the argument is whether or not we should let these children identify as animals? I mean, this is what the propaganda looks like. And that's, by the way, why you need to read my book. I literally have a chapter on a trans species swimmer. You got to read the book. Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? All right, again, folks, been a lot of fun. We're going to do this all over again tomorrow, 5 o'clock Eastern, Newsmax. Be sure to set your clock. We'll see you on the TV, and we'll see you tomorrow on the radio. Be good, everybody.